When you make a commitment to live your life in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, then your life becomes a great adventure. You have no idea what He has next in store for you. You have no idea what the long-term plans will be for you. I had a few moments by myself over in the new building a little bit ago, and my mind went back to the first church when I went out to pastor out in southwest Oklahoma. We had a building that if you had 100 in it, you'd have standing room only. We had 50 to 60, maybe 70 on a good Sunday in attendance. And I couldn't have been more proud or humbled at the same time when God gave us that assignment. It was incredible. And then I thought, man, from that, my mind started going through the stages of my life and the good things, the challenging things, all the stuff in following Jesus Christ. And I thought, never in my wildest dreams would I have ever imagined that one day we would be about to step in to what we're about to see and be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ from that context. So I'm just telling you, life has not been always easy and wonderful and full of roses. There have been a lot of bumps and challenges along the way. But I will tell you, life has been an incredible adventure. And if you make that kind of commitment to Jesus Christ, your life will be like that too. And He will take you to places you would never even dream about. Well, we're continuing the journey. We've knocked down some crucial steps in the vision that God is continuing to give us. I will tell you that over 20 years ago, when we were formulating our building's vision and ministry to flow out of that, the footprint back in that day and age had a big worship center situated where our building is today. Now, the vision for that at that time was a whole lot different than what we've built. And the reason for that is in the last 20 years, ministry has had incredible changes that have occurred. And the buildings kind of reflect how the ministry has changed. And so, just a little background. You may know this, but there are two other buildings like the one we're about to finish in America today. One of those I had a chance to do some ministry in. And when I saw that, it really clicked with me because it was very difficult for me to think about spending all that money on a building we're going to use 2 hours a week. And what we're building, we're going to be able to use 7 days a week. So it kind of transformed my thinking with that. And so this vision continues to unfold. We've taken some great steps, and we're coming to take the next steps. I call the message today Higher Ground 2.0 and invite you to find Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. That's the theme text for our project, Higher Ground. The coffee bar over there is going to be called Higher Grounds. Seriously. And your rocks are in the baptistry. If you've taken a tour, you've seen them. One lady found a rock, and she pulled out a picture of her rock and looked at the rock in there and said, "That's my rock." I said, "Well, it's not your rock anymore." And so we're taking some great steps. So the theme has been this passage. Let me kind of walk you through it, if I could. I hope you're very familiar with it by now. But it centers about a man named Caleb. When Caleb was a young man, he was a slave in Egypt, along with all of the other descendants of Israel. And so this guy Moses showed up and rallied the people, and Caleb saw God do miraculous things, bringing plagues on Egypt to the point where the Pharaoh, the king, said, "You people, please leave." He followed Moses out into the desert where they came up on the Red Sea. Caleb saw God part the Red Sea, waters to the right, waters to the left. He walked across that on dry ground. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, do you really think that happened, or is that just a story?" I really think it happened. I don't think that's a problem for God. I think that if God could create the heavens and the earth by just saying the word, that's not a big deal for Him at all to stand up water. Caleb saw that. Caleb also saw the manna come. He saw Moses go up on Mount Sinai with the mountain burning and come down with the Ten Commandments. He was an eyewitness to all that. He was a participant in that. And evidently he established himself as a leader as they came up to this land of promise that Moses has said God has a special land for us. And so he was one of 12 men selected to go in and check the land out. They called spies. They spied out the land. While Caleb was in the land, he saw some high country. And somehow God attached his heart to that high country. And something inside Caleb said, that's my promised land. That will be my inheritance. When we come into the land, that's the part God has for me. So they came back, and they had a majority report and a minority report. The majority report was 10 of 12 said, we can't do this. The land eats up everybody that goes in there, and there are giants that live there, bigger than us. They have walled cities, and they have armies. And we are like grasshoppers. However, Caleb and Joshua said, let's go. God has removed their protection. Just remember, he just opened up the sea. He's been providing for us. What are we waiting for? Well, they didn't go. And so for 40 years, 1 year for each day, the spies were in the land 40 days, and now 40 years, a year for each day, they're just wandering out in the desert. Caleb's mind's still thinking about the promise. Everybody dies of that whole generation except for two men, Joshua and Caleb. And now they come up to the land again. It's time to go again. And they go this time. Caleb's a part of that. They hit Jericho. They cut the promised land in half, conquer the south, conquer the north. Now they're ready to go home. And Caleb is now 85 years old. He's 45 years after he saw the land the first time. And he goes to Joshua. Then he says, this is our text. So now give me this hill country. The King James says, give me that mountain of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord had said. And so our higher ground focus has been, give me that mountain. Give us that mountain. And so we come to higher ground 2.0. That's still our challenge. Give us this mountain. We hadn't gotten there yet. And so I'd like to just unpack this regarding the vision. I'd like to start with the conviction of higher ground 2.0 and talk about its favor. It was birthed there in Caleb's heart when he saw the land the first time. 40 years is a long time to wait. I mean, 40 years is a long time to wait. We get impatient if we have to wait 5 minutes. Is supper ready? It'll be ready in 10 minutes. Now 45 years. But he had that conviction, he had that favor, he had it in his heart. And then comes the faith of the vision. At age 40, he said, let's go get them. We can do this. Now that vision's just been a promise. And I think Caleb probably would, when there were hardships out there in the desert, he kept hearing the promise Moses gave him, that what you saw, you're going to get, Caleb. What you saw, you're going to get. Then he's just hanging on to that. All his buds are dying. Caleb's still alive. He's hanging on to that. 40 years. They go in the land. He's involved in battle. Now he's 85. Now, some people say, yeah, but they all lived older back in that day. Well, by this time, they weren't living so long. Some of them did, but not all of them. And I'll just tell you, when you get 85, I think, You kind of geared down a little bit, I think. Bill Cole didn't. He geared up when he hit 85. And now he's 85, and you'd think he'd say, well, you know, I've lived my life, and I had that great vision and dream, but it didn't happen for me. But no, that wasn't his position. 85, he said, pack up your bags and let's go get it. And so he had that faith still. And then there was a fight. You see, the Anakim were still there. Those walled cities were still there. And that was their home. They weren't going to give it up without a fight. And they're still just as big, they're still just as intimidating as they ever were. Let me go back to Numbers 13, 31 through 33, what they saw back 45 years earlier. It said, then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim, a bunch of giant basketball players. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. They're still there, and they're not giving up without a fight. So God is giving him the land, but not without a fight. So you got vision. You add vision, a promise. You add a promise, faith. And then you put action on it. And the last piece of the recipe, he said, God will be with us. So I would just tell you, if you're facing a giant or a challenge today, there's your recipe to conquer it. A vision to conquer it. A promise from God to conquer it. Faith. Action. And knowing that God is with you. And there's no giant in the land that can stand against you. Do we have any Calebs in the crowd today? I hope that we do. So there's then the confession of Higher Ground 2.0. Give you a few personal thoughts. I got a picture, showed it to you before, of a napkin. Could you take a look at the napkin? That also, over in my office, has some food stains on it that fell out of my mouth. That was over 20 years ago, sitting with the architect for this area here, and I'm explaining to him the vision God had in my mind. And as I'm writing and talking about the vision, I'm writing what I'm describing. And actually, that's one of the finest architectural drawings I've ever seen. You see the arrows pointing in and out? Those were exits and entrances. When we got to this point, he said, Pastor, that looks like the Starship Enterprise. Well, next week the sermon is, we've never been this way before, so we're going where no man has gone before. Live long and prosper. And so the vision kind of got birthed. And you got promises, and then you got faith, and then you take action. And you see that God is with us, and we're taking the mountain down. Let me tell you about a couple, their story about giving. They praying about Higher Ground. That was the campaign we're finishing up right now. Capital giving campaign helps pay for it. Because did you know that that costs money? Hill Wickerson didn't do it for free. Almost, but not quite. And so this couple was praying and they was asking God. And this couple, the guy had a good job. It wasn't like a gigantic paying job. It was a solid job. And his wife had a small business that was okay. You know, they were just kind of living through life and doing okay. And God gave them an amount to give to Higher Ground. It was six figure. They said, what are we going to do with this? They decided, we'll make the commitment and we'll see what happens. Well, during this time, the guys kind of stayed where he was. He didn't see much happen. But her little old business has exploded. They surpassed their commitments before the end of the year and have given a little bit more. And they're getting ready to make a similar commitment to Higher Ground 2.0. And what their statement is, we should have made a bigger commitment. Because God stepped in to let them fulfill it. Now, I'm not saying it's a name it, claim it. But I'm just saying you shouldn't limit God in what you believe He can do. And so, here we step up to Higher Ground 2.0, still climbing the mountain. There's some other words I want you to hear. Watch and listen to this video.
God just would offer more to us so that we could provide more in the process. Fast forward to where we are now with Higher Ground, and things just seem to continue along that same path. He's shown His faith. Over the years, we've run into instances where jobs have been changed. There was a point in our lives where I actually lost my job, but during that three-month period where I was unemployed, God still showed His faithfulness, and we in turn made it a point to make sure that we showed our faithfulness. We did not stop giving to the campaign whatsoever. God returned that upon us and allowed us to continue to give as much as we possibly could. And so that's what we continue to do today. And through that, we've seen the church grow. We've seen blessings being poured out, not just upon us, but upon our family here at the church, upon the community as well.
We were trying to plan how much we could give, and we were really putting a lot of thought into it. And, you know, just like anybody would, kind of you start to think what you can afford. You don't really think initially, let's put it in God's hands. You think, what can I do? What can we do? And, you know, we had a number in mind, and luckily enough good things have happened to us, enough blessings where we've been able to go past that and more, and we're hoping to increase it even more as we go forward. We've had new jobs, multiple promotions,
both of us,
promotions.
I've had my mom, who was diagnosed with cancer and has then since been diagnosed cancer-free as well, and I truly think that's a blessing from God. So, like I said, many blessings, big and small for us, and I think it just continues every day, and I'm thankful every day for the small blessings and the big blessings in our life.
We believe fully in the Higher Ground, and we support it fully because it's our future as well as our churches, and it's going to give us many opportunities to hopefully help build the kingdom of God and to invite new people and friends and family to experience, you know, what we're really looking forward to experience through this.
It's been such an awesome opportunity. You know, when we first talked about it, it was just like this big theory and like this dream, and then it was like some drawings on paper, but still sort of like this untouchable thing. And then as we broke ground, and then the structure went up, and I was thinking, okay, well, I mean, that's all right, but is that really what I thought it was going to be? And then stepping in here, it's so much better than what I could have ever imagined. And I'm thinking, man, I got to, like, be a part of this.
So initial reaction was overwhelming. I'm super impressed by just the space. I think that I'm just excited to see all the people that we can have in one particular area, like out here near the baptistry, and just the beauty. Like, it's so light and airy, and yeah, I'm kind of overwhelmed by just the space itself.
I just think it's fabulous. It's astounding. It's awesome. I just have driven by here many times, looked at all the glass, and I wondered what was behind all that glass. Now I know. And I just think it's fabulous.
And so years from now, when we're driving down this road and I've got my grandkids, I could go, you know what? You know, Grandma and Granddad, we were a part of this. And it's just such an awesome feeling to be able to give back to the community and first give to Jesus and know that he's going to make such a big, big moment here in Forney with this building. I'm just super pumped. I can't wait to see what happens next.
I'm proud that I gave to Higher Ground. I don't regret it at all. I would do it again, and honestly, I've already started praying about 2.0 as well.
And I know that there are a lot of you who could sit down and be videoed, and you have stories about how God is blessed. And so it has been an incredible thing as we're climbing the mountain. The challenge I would lay before you is what I laid before you several years ago. If not now, when? We're not going to do it now. When are we going to do it? If not me and if not us, then who? And then if not here, then where? And then if it's not for God, why not? And if it's not by prayer, how we're going to do it. So the time is now. We're in the process of doing it. And God is pouring out his blessing on us as we take the mountain. Now, I would tell you, it is a great time for us to be able to point to something and say, even in this post-Christian culture in America, God is still in business. And I would rather fail and fall flat reaching for everything that God has for us than to spend my life in the mediocrity of the wilderness and the desert. And so we're stretching it out, and it is an awesome thing, and God has his hand on us. So again, we would say, God, give us that mountain. Third thing I would share with you is the characteristics for Higher Ground. And I would tell you that what we're doing for God should scare us a little bit, because there's always risk involved. And I just be honest with you, I'm a little bit scared. I go over there and look at that and I say, God, you are entrusting us with this. I don't know if I can handle it. I went there and looked at them gigantic screens. They're like HD. And I thought, dude, I am going to have to clean up and just trim everything up. I'm kind of scared of that. But there is a risk. There's always risk when you're following Jesus Christ by faith. But let me tell you a few things about a great vision from God. It's always bigger than you think. Think about Moses, the vision God gave him. It was simply to go and lead about 1.5 million people who were slaves out of the most powerful country in the world. Quite a vision. And then I think about Joshua. Now he's the leader and they're at the edge of promise, and Joshua, here's the land. There are wall cities, there are armies, there are violent people that just go take it. Okay. And then you got Caleb, he's our guy here. Caleb, there's a high ground, there's giants up there, they're in wall cities, go take it. Think about the assignment he gave Jesus Christ. Son, I want you to go down there and live. And then I want you to die on the cross to pay the sins of the whole world. Think about the assignment he gave the church. You go back over 2,000 years, you got a group of 11 leaders, and they are responsible to build a church and to begin the process that throughout the ages is going to keep passing the message on and on and on and on. Aren't you glad that the church has continued to preach that up until today, long enough for it to get to you? Now let's fast forward. Let's say that Jesus doesn't come back in the next 1,000 years. I think life's going to look different 1,000 years from today, don't you? If we could go back 1,000 years and we could talk to people who were living then and we tried to describe what our life is like, they would have no frame of reference to even understand that. So if we go forward 1,000 years, it's going to be kind of like that, I really think. However, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be happening. There's going to be people gathering together, and they're going to be singing praise songs to Jesus Christ, and somebody's going to be opening up a Bible, and is going to be preaching and teaching biblical messages, because the chain will never break. And so we want to be a strong link in that chain. So the vision is always bigger than you think. And it's also harder than you can do. Caleb couldn't have done that. Moses couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done this. You couldn't have. But do you know something? When we link our arms together, heart to heart, spirit to spirit, mind to mind, service for service, there is absolutely nothing that the Church of Jesus Christ can accomplish. Nothing. It's better than we can imagine. After Caleb took the land, I've got a hunch he laid his head down to die and thought, man, this was so great. Caleb, was it worth the 45 years? He said, absolutely. Better than he ever thought it would be. Now, I would tell you about this building. I had it in my mind what it was going to look like. But as I walk through it today, it's better than I had imagined. And if you've been on one of the tours, you're saying the same thing. It is absolutely astounding. But it's also more restrictive than you might like. I'll just tell you, I wanted to have bigger capacity there. I also wanted to have a building over there for senior adults, because they're going to walk a long way through the hall, the mall. But there is a fine line you have to find, that you no longer presume on God and you do what you can with what you have available, and you mix faith with it and trust, and then you go forward. And so we have done that. And so even though we maybe didn't get quite as far as what I wanted, we are right where God wanted us to be. And it's impossible without faith. There's never been a victory in the Bible without faith. There's never been a victory in your life without faith. And there will never be a victory in your life without faith. And then last, I want to tell you, it is for God's glory. Now, listen to me. I'm going to be very open. I have nothing to prove. I have no denominational person that I want to impress so that I can move up the ladder. For me right now, I'm at the top rung. And so there's no ulterior motive. I'm not going to catapult this into fame and fortune. If I do, I'll take you with me. But I have no desire for that. I would tell you, this is for the glory of God. It is for our kids. It's for our grandkids. It's for future generations as well as for us. Ultimately, it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what we've got to always remember. The day's going to come when we step into glory. I know I will. I don't know about anybody else. I know about me. I'll take my last breath one day. I'll step into glory. I will give an account to God of my life. And the works are going to follow me. That's what the Scripture tells us. And so after I've been in glory for a while, those works are going to keep coming. Because everybody who comes to Christ through the ministry here, through what we have done, every family that gets mended, every blessing that comes building up God's kingdom, all that's going to be coming. And as we're all involved in this together, they're coming into your eternity as well. Man, that's a whole lot better than getting the blessings here. Because the blessings here come and go, but in eternity they're going to stay with us forever. And so I would just challenge you today, let's keep climbing the mountain. I want to close. It's a great thing to happen. Say amen. Great when the preacher hits conclusion, unless he goes on for another 20 minutes. Can you name the 10 spies who said, we can't do it? Nobody knows who they are unless you look at the Bible. But the two who said, let's go, you know who they were, right? Who? Joshua and Caleb. We name our kids Joshua and Caleb. Is there anybody here that's named Joshua? Anybody in here named Joshua? There's one, two. Anybody else? Three? Anybody? Four? Bunch of people named Joshua. Anybody in here named Caleb? There's one. A weenie man. Caleb Haney. Little small guy. Anybody else named Caleb? It's a hero's name. But I just wonder, are there any real Calebs in here? So just take a minute turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a Caleb. Do it. Do it. It'll make you feel good. I'm a Caleb. And we're fixing to kick some Anakim, you know what. We're going to take the stick out of their hand, beat them with their own stick, take their homes. We'll leave their women alone. I guess. Because Mama wouldn't like it. And so, three things I would ask you. One, is this of God? And I hope your answer is yes, this is what God wants. Will it bring glory to Him? Yes. The second question, and you had this in Bible studies, we're asking, what is my part? God, how do you want me to financially get in here and help us get on the mountain? And then, God, here's what I intend to do. Now, I hope that you got one of these things in Bible study. If you didn't, you can grab one around here. It's a commitment guide. And inside the guide's an envelope, and there's a commitment card inside. So here's what we're asking everybody to do. Just pray. Get husbands and wives together and include kids in it. And just pray and just say, God, I want to help with this. Would you communicate with us how you want us to do that? And then when God speaks, come to agreement and then indicate what that amount is. Some it could be a one-time gift. Some it could be annual. Some it could be monthly. Some it could be weekly. But I want to tell you, everybody ought to get in on this somehow, some way. And even if you didn't do Higher Ground, jump on Higher Ground 2.0. And you'd be amazed at how fast that will build up. And it will be a way that we can get into that building and take care of our financial obligations and move forward for the glory of Jesus Christ. So some have gotten this a little earlier, and we've asked them to turn that in by April the 14th. We're asking everybody to bring their commitments in by April 28th. You can drop it in one of the offering receptacles when you're at church. You can send it, you can mail it, or you can drop it by the church office, however you'd like to do that. And so we're gathering all these up so that we can take care of our part. And then our prayer is, God, bless your people so we can do it. So the challenge is for all of us to get on board. Get on board with Higher Ground 2.0. I encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to get on board with our church. Don't be one of them, be one of us. If you're visiting with us today, we'd love for you to join and become an official part of our church family. And there'll be staff right here waiting to greet you as you do, as we prepare to sing the last song of the day. And then the most important thing is, please get on board with Jesus Christ. That's really the key issue. I had a bad day yesterday, a lot of bad news. One particular piece, a call came. One of my guys from our church in Austin was dying. This was a really big guy. He's my age. We kind of got him out of the pagan pool. He's a big guy, about 6'4". I don't know what he weighed. He wasn't obese, but he was just a really big old guy. And he wanted to serve God, so we said, we want you to be a greeter and help the senior adults get in the church. So he was at the door where the seniors came in at that church, and he'd wear his suit, went and bought him a suit, and was standing out there. It's kind of hot in Austin, and humidity's pretty good. He's helping these senior adults get in the building. He's opening the doors for them. Sweat is pouring off of him. Just, he would sweat through that suit every Sunday. Those people loved him more than they loved me. And so, man, he'd come in, he'd be wiping the sweat off, sweat through his suit. He'd have a smile on his face you couldn't believe. And that was 25 plus years ago. So now he's on his deathbed. And so his daughter says, Brother Jim, I want him to hold a phone on his chest and put you on speaker and just ask you to pray for him, would you? And so I did. And I thought, as I was praying and as I got through, that, you know, I don't know. I lost track with him. We left. Stuff happened. He's in Indiana with a couple of dollars. I'm sure his life had ups and downs, had some mountains, He conquered, probably had some valleys he had to go through. I know that's the way life is, right? But when you get to that point, do you know there's only one thing that matters? And the one thing that matters is that Jesus Christ is walking with you through that valley of the shadow of death. And so maybe that's a downer thought for you, but I will tell you this. One day you and I are going to be in that spot. And you know, I want to have a lot of great things about my life that I have done, that I have accomplished, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. But if I really don't have Jesus at that moment, then nothing else really is going to make any difference anyway. So today I would love for you to get on board with Higher Ground 2.0. We need you to. I really want you to get on board with our church. Man, we'd love for you to. But I want to tell you, get on board with Jesus Christ. That's what you got to do. And so if the Lord is so speaking to you today through His Spirit, staff will be right here as we begin to sing in a second. Please make your way to them. And if you need words to say, say, I'd like to get on board with Jesus Christ. That we'll know what to do. Maybe you want to say, I want to get on board with the church. We'll know what we'll need to do. And then I'd ask you to take this stuff home with you and pray over it and get on board with Higher Ground 2.0. Let's stand together and worship. May God bless you as He speaks. May God bless you as you get on board.